This is the Craft of Coaching podcast, where you'll learn about how to become a life coach with a strong skill set through understanding the craft of coaching. I'm Kate Swoboda, also known as Kate Courageous. As the director of a life coach training program called the Courageous Living Coach Certification Program, I'm passionate about the craft of coaching and how we evolve the skills and the industry. Learn more about our program at teamclcc.com. And here's today's episode.
All right, here it is. An episode that could be epic in terms of changing how you approach some of your coaching sessions. Because today's episode is all about helping clients to have more fun. And as you're thinking about today's episode, of course, how about you having more fun, right? So there's this tendency in coaching for everyone to emphasize the problems and what's not working. And this makes sense because when our clients hire us, they're hiring us because there's some kind of problem they're facing, right? And I think that that is something that is hugely important in marketing. You know, like there's a problem that the person is facing, and are you clearly defining what the problem is? It's a big thing we talk about in the marketing training that we offer through the Courageous Living Coach Certification. It's like, how do we help all of our coaches to leave the program being able to say, here is the problem that the people I want to work with face, and here are some of the solutions that coaching can provide. So when people come to sessions, they do it because they're facing some kind of problem. Something doesn't feel good. They feel stuck. There's a challenge. And so it makes sense that that is the thing that people would emphasize in coaching, the problems. But we often can forget when we go down that road that, you know, you can have problems in your life and still be happy, still have fun, still make room for gratitude, still make room for celebration. And as coaches, I think that one of the things that we're modeling for our clients, and this is part of why it's so important for us to do our own personal work, is examples of what it can look like to step into a new way of being. You might have clients who are showing up at their first sessions going, life is problems. And they are so mired in the problems that it feels impossible to see happiness. And one of the things that we can do as coaches is to be that model of, okay, yeah, this thing is really hard. You feel stuck. It's a big challenge. It feels insurmountable right now. And even amid that, even when, you know, the failures happen, the mistakes happen, the anticipated results don't arrive, the goals are not hit, you get an unfair criticism or a justly deserved criticism that really, really stings. Basically, even when there's crap in life that we got to wade through, we can still be happy people. We can still find opportunities for gratitude, for celebration. We can take our focus off of solely being problem-oriented and integrate alongside those solutions that coaching is trying to help someone with. We can integrate practices or ways of being that help us to be happier. And I think that, you know, clients understandably have a strong self-interest in trying to solve the problems, and they've got money on the line when they start to work with you as a coach. And then, of course, there's time that they're investing. So really, their focus is probably going to be on the problem, and your job as coach will be to open up that broader perspective. How do we help clients to have more fun, to integrate fun alongside the work? Now, I'm going to talk about a couple ways of doing this throughout this episode, and I would really encourage you as a new or emerging coach or someone considering becoming a coach to really start by walking your talk. So before you try to integrate any of this stuff into a client session, find out what your own blocks are. Take your own stuck spaces, your own problems, your own challenges, and actually hold them to the fire of, can I practice having more fun or shifting out of only being in the problem? This is leadership. And I think coaches are in a wonderful position of leadership that can just have so many incredible ripple effects in their clients' lives. But, you know, this is also about you as a coach deciding to step into leadership in your own life. You're the one who decides how you frame problems and solutions, right? So if you're the one who decides that and you know that and you've got a coach training behind you already that says, here's the thing, you got to take responsibility for how you're responding to the things that come your way in life, let this be something you take responsibility for. If you want to feel happier, part of that is going to be not only focusing on the problems. Part of that is going to be the self-responsibility to go, if I want to feel happier, I got to step into creating solutions or looking at the things that I can celebrate or be grateful for. And I can have all the empathy in the world for the fact that the problems are hard. This is not an either or equation. I am not saying in today's podcast that you should go into your sessions with your clients or that you should treat yourself in such a way where you're saying, oh, hey, you know, don't focus on the problems, just all love and light. No, the problems are real. The struggle is real. The pain is real. But so is the joy. So is the joy. It can be there alongside the problems. All right, so let's get into how you do that. How can you be a human being? How can your clients be human beings who have problems, but that isn't the totality of their experience? Well, for my money, it's gratitude practice. I know, such a coachy thing to say, but gratitude practice, because you got to think about this, and I know I'm not the first person to say it, but you can't be angry and grateful at the same time. Really think about that. You can't be angry and grateful at the same time. And if you're going, yes, I can, I got news for you. If you're angry, you're not grateful. Not really, really, okay? Because the type of grateful I'm talking about is the type that fills your heart and has you go, wow. And I'll just give a couple examples of moments of such intense, beautiful gratitude I've had. I mean, when I think about gratitude, I think about my daughter's eyes when she is laughing and how they shine. If you have kids, think of their eyes when they are just completely taken by the giggles. That's gratitude. Or when someone helps you and they didn't have to. And maybe it even cost them a little something to help you, but it mattered to them to help you. And how you feel a sense of emotion, like, oh my God, what a good world. Thank you. I needed that. I needed that so badly. Thank you. That's gratitude. So angry, stuck, don't know what to do. So annoying that they do that. Oh, I'm so tired of this stupid job. Like, does not live in the same place as grateful. And gratitude is one of those things that you got to practice. A gratitude practice means that at first, most people who try it on feel like this is such bullshit. Why am I even doing this? I feel stupid. I feel like I'm being inauthentic. I feel like I'm faking it. Got it. That's how everybody feels when a skill set is unfamiliar to them. So welcome to the club. You've just got a skill set that's unfamiliar to you. And if you have any clients who give you that kind of response, a helpful check is always, first, am I being empathetic to the very real suffering that this person is feeling? Because for sure, I know that in the coaching industry, there is some serious spiritual bypassing going on. There are absolutely coaches out there who won't even entertain letting their clients talk about the places where they're stuck. They are always pivoting to, but if that wasn't a problem, what would you be doing? Well, but if your most powerful self were showing up right now, what would she be doing? And it's like, those are powerful questions. But if they aren't combined with empathy for the very real fact of someone suffering, those questions, let's be real, they're freaking annoying. You know, like, I'm all about coaching as a powerful tool. I'm not about coaching as this like annoying, peppy cheerleader thing where it's just like, let's just be positive all the time. No, your clients who are coming to you when they are stuck, you know, trying to just bypass past the stuck and into, well, let's see, are you being grateful without any empathy for the stuckness? You know, that's not kindness. And that's not the kind of support that I think you would want. We do need to create space for, yes, this is an actual problem in your life and I want to help you with it. And yes, there's actual suffering that's happening here. And we also got to put some attention on, hey, here's a tool that is called gratitude practice that you can use alongside all the other work that you're doing. It's not one or the other. It's both. Think about that for yourself, by the way, too. When you think about trying on a gratitude practice, what do you do? One of the things that we do in the Courageous Living Coach certification is we give all of our trainees about midway through the training an exercise, a homework assignment, where they declare something to the group that they are going to practice for 7 days straight. And one of the things that people put on their declarations sometimes will be a gratitude practice. And then we actually ask everybody to be 100% accountable for 7 days straight. And when you take on that 100% accountability for 7 days straight, you get a wake-up call about how difficult accountability can really be. You get a wake-up call about all the ways in which when you say, I'm going to change something, you run straight into all the places where you don't feel like you're very good at changing the thing, or it feels hard, or there's some distraction that pulls you away. So lots of compassion at the same time that I'm sounding the clear call for you, the coach listening to this, to decide to adopt a gratitude practice. So another thing that I think could be really helpful for helping clients to have more fun would be fun practices. You know, practices are those things that clients do between sessions to further the work of coaching. Are you making fun practices part of your client's repertoire of options? And if not, why not? You know, why are you making it all work? What does that say about where you're at in your own life? Now, here's a very common thing that can happen for coaches, okay? Coaches start doing a little personal growth work. They have some great breakthroughs where they realize, oh my gosh, I have had an aha moment. I have been avoiding doing the core work for all this time. I have been coasting through life. I have not been taking it seriously. I have not been accountable to myself. And that ends now. And so these coaches then go, okay. And by the way, these coaches, I mean, I'm raising my hand here. I have 100% been in this place. When I first started coaching in my 20s, this was totally me. So this is part of why I can speak to this with some credibility. It's this thing of like, oh, I'm never going to shortchange myself again. And I'm on a mission that as I live in integrity, values-driven life, I am going to help my clients create that too. And that is going to mean facing the hard stuff. And I totally did that, by the way, with, you know, Your Courageous Life as my coaching website. And, you know, you've got to look at your fear. Stop trying to look away from your fear. Like, that was kind of how I started out. I was like, don't BS yourself. You've got to look at the fear. Stop copping out. Look at the fear. Whew, you can kind of hear it in my voice, right? Sounds really drill sergeant-y and not a lot of fun. Well, why was I making it all work? Well, I was making it all work in part because it had been deeply transformative for me to cut the shit and actually get serious about doing the work. But that was the balance that I needed to learn because I was making it all work. And the thing is about self-help is that anything taken to an extreme can become parasitic. I'll use a different metaphor. You know, sugar, having a piece of cake one time in and of itself is not problematic. Having 5 pieces of cake every single day, that's going to be problematic for your health, okay? And even with like, I don't know, kale, I'll use another example, one of the healthiest foods imaginable. There was a study I read a couple years ago about a doctor in Marin County, California, who had run across this kind of troubling set of symptoms among many of the women that he was treating And when he analyzed the diets, what he found that they had in common is that all the women were juicers. They juiced vegetables, including kale. And what he ended up finding out was that these women were juicing so much kale that there's, I forget what the nutrient is, but there's some nutrient in kale that's good for you in small amounts, but if you have way too much of it, it starts causing problems. And basically these women had gone so far with trying to juice this kale as part of juicing cleanses that they were making themselves sick. So I use these examples about chocolate cake and kale to just really emphasize that, you know, any tool can be a really great tool, but if you do it too much, it can become parasitic, like all things in proportion and proportion in all things. If you make all the personal growth work, you got to work harder. You got to get to the core. You got to do more. You will wear yourself down into a fine powder. And your clients will too. They will be motivated for a while. And then the next stumbling block that they will run into is making it all about the work and never about the joy. So I'll come back to my point. Are you making fun practices between sessions part of your client's repertoire of options? Are those part of the options? So it's like, are they only journaling about where they get stuck and never journaling about their big vision for what's possible? Are they only journaling about the habits they have that are dysfunctional and never spending any time on the strengths? And in some ways, this points a little bit to shadow work. You know, in shadow work, the metaphor that I've always loved is one of turning the volume up and turning the volume down. You can take any trait, and if you turn the volume up way too high, it's hard to be with. And if you turn the volume down, it's easier to be with. Just as you can take your favorite music, and it can be your absolute most favorite song in the world, but if you turn the volume up so high that it hurts your ears, it's hard to be with. Got to turn the volume down. Same thing with, like, you know, you take a trait such as feistiness. And it's a great trait to have, and it's a trait that's going to change the world, and it's a trait that's going to help you develop grit. But if you turn the volume up way too much, feistiness can be really alienating to other people. You can scream so loudly, your point doesn't even get heard, and people will not be inspired to come along for your mission. So same thing with doing work, doing personal growth work. If you turn the volume up way too high, it can be really paralyzing, overwhelming, even weakening instead of strengthening. So take a look for yourself in your life. When you think about how you're doing the work of developing who you are as a person, do you make room for fun? And if not, why not? Why are you making it all work? Usually there's some kind of fear-based reason in there. People tend to make it all work when they're really, really afraid that they could backslide or that things could get worse if they aren't vigilant. And that's a fear-based reason to do something. I want to invite you into an inspiration-based reason to do something. Make the work of your own integrity check-in about it feels good to be in integrity, not I'll be ashamed if I'm out of integrity. With fun practices, those can be things like taking time to doodle, laugh sessions, which are where you set a timer for like a minute and you just laugh. It sounds ridiculous, but it's great fun. Time spent that's completely unstructured with nothing you have to do. Emphasizing community and connecting with other people. Those are all fun practices. One of my favorite fun practices to offer to clients who feel really overworked would be to tell them to take $25 or $50 or, you know, whatever amount was an agreed upon amount during the session. Go to an art store. Don't leave until you've spent it. Because I think when you tell a client, take $50, go to an art store, don't leave till you've spent it, something happens for them when they arrive in that art store surrounded by all that color. I think people get tapped into who they were as a kid when it was just like a sheet of paper and broken up crayons and nothing but enthusiasm. So whatever you're going to do with yourself or with your clients, integrate the joy. Now, it is true that sometimes clients don't want to do the real work. So we do need to help clients understand what it looks like to have fun while also paying attention to where they might be inclined to lack accountability. This is particularly true for clients who tend to have shiny object syndrome, trouble following through on the things that they start, things of that nature. I'm thinking of someone I used to work with a couple years ago who was just like all about the fun, and she also did personal growth work. And it was just like there was always this overall sense of she was going to choose to pivot in whatever direction was fun for her. So having fun was something she was naturally kind of doing, but she was doing it to her detriment. She was leaving charred earth in her wake. She was letting me down as someone who was working with her, not following through on things she said she would do, things of that nature, sometimes kind of fudging the truth, making excuses. So, you know, and it always sounded really good, right? It was always like, well, you know, I couldn't make that deadline because I just really looked at what was coming up for me and realized I just needed to integrate some time for self-care so that I could show up and do my role to the best of my ability. Like, it sounds really good. Oh, I needed the self-care so I could do even better. But like, the results were not panning out in real life. And so if you have a client who shows up to sessions and they aren't really looking at the stuff they need to look at, and they're offering those kind of justifications / excuses around, well, you know, I just needed a little time for me. It's like, yeah, then they're going to need some talk about structure. How do we have structures that support accountability and also make room for fun? That could look something like helping your client to determine what the boundaries are. So it's like, okay, if somebody has a spending money problem and you want to give them an assignment sort of or practice sort of like what I just described about the $50 in the art store, then the agreement between coaching and client that sets the accountability would be, okay, we're capping what you spend at this amount. You will not spend more. You will not, you know, get caught up in the, you know, if you're taking on this practice, you're agreeing to not get caught up in the moment and go, you know what, forget about it. This is so great. I'm going to spend $100. You know, it's like whatever you agree on, that's what you're accountable to. So structures that support accountability can also make room for fun, and you can set up boundaries or containers for the fun, like time limits before the person turns back to the stuff that's difficult. Determine how long the break is going to be if the person wants to take some kind of a break from doing more intensive work. And then also, I mean, you can be problem solving all day and stop for little moments like a laugh session. Again, like, this is a really powerful skill to learn ourselves as people and to help our clients with. How do we look at the stuff in life that might not always be fun to look at, but also take on the mentality of, let me see if I can make this fun? We don't have to treat fun and personal work like an either-or equation. It's not an either-or equation. It is a mixed bag of life. And you might even find that the more you encourage your clients to step into having more fun, the more motivated they end up becoming to do the harder work. Maybe they'll become more vision-directed. Maybe they'll start to see other possibilities. Maybe they will make faster progress on something because they make it fun. I mean, you know, it's basic psychology 101, right? You know, when people find some kind of benefit to whatever they're doing that appeals to them and that feels good, they're more likely to do it. This is why we try to make games out of things when we ask kids to like help with cleaning up and picking up. It's like the game of who can put the blocks in the container fastest and stuff like that. You know, I think on some level, we're kind of all still kids. And we need to honor that instead of trying to be like these uber logical adults going, it's time to work. Go do the work. It's like, ugh, that can be really deadening. We can have fun. They can exist. They can both coexist. You can have problems in your life and things that are not working for you. You can be totally clear on that. And you can still integrate fun, even if the problems are still there. So here's to you bringing that into your next coaching session with your clients. All right, that's today's episode. If you have found the information that I shared today helpful, would you do me a favor? Hop on over to iTunes and leave us a review. The more people who leave reviews, the more likely people are to find out about this podcast, which is so helpful. If you're interested in the Courageous Living Coach Certification, you can find us at teamclcc.com. That's teamclcc.com. And as always, thanks for listening.